Welcome to the Assembling Inclusion Podcast. On this show, we feature different programs, individuals, and initiatives focused on being more inclusive of individual needs. We invite you to learn right alongside us. If you want some additional resources or access to our courses, please visit our website or follow us on social media. But for right now, let's get right to the episode. Estimated 300 million people around the world have a color vision deficiency, which is the decreased ability to recognize color or differences in color. Commonly called color blindness, this deficiency is more common than you might realize. In this conversation, we talked to Kent Strieb from Enchroma, which is a company that produces glasses that utilize technology to make colors more visible for people who may be colorblind. In this episode, we talk about Enchroma and how it changes viewing experiences, their programs for museums, parks, and schools, and the importance of making sure educational and workspaces are more accessible for people who may have a color vision deficiency. This episode was super informative, and I hope you walk away with some new information that you previously did not know. So let's dive right in. Welcome back to the Assembly and Inclusion Podcast. I'm here today with Kent Strieb from Enchroma. And Enchroma has patented lens technology, which allows for colors to become more visible to support people who may be colorblind. And I'm really excited to have this conversation today. So Kent, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm interested and looking forward to chatting with you.
Before we dive into the technology behind Enchroma and how it's working and how the organization runs, I just wanted to know a little bit about the inspiration for the company. I was reading on the website about how common color blindness is, and it was something like 1 in 12 men and 1 in 100 women, which was 200 women, I'm sorry. That's very common. That being said, what was the inspiration for actually getting started with this technology at Enchroma?
So the glasses sort of came about as a mistake, one of those, you know, eureka kind of moments. Our chief science officer and co-founder, Don McPherson, he has a PhD in glass scientists, and he also has MFA in art and mathematics, really interesting guy. He had developed glasses that protected the eyes of surgeons from lasers during operations. And he found out that they were absconding with the glasses from the OR. And he didn't really know why. It was good for business, but he didn't know why. And he learned that one of the effects of the glasses was to enhance colors, and that they just liked it and they thought it was cool, and they were wearing the glasses outside of the OR as regular sunglasses. So he started wearing them as sunglasses, and he's an ultimate frisbee player, and he was playing at a tournament in Santa Cruz, and one of his teammates borrowed his glasses, and his quote was, "Dude, I can see the cones." And he said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I can see the orange cones marking the boundaries of the green field." Don asked why that was interesting. He said, "I'm colorblind. I've never been able to see that. I've never been able to see these colors." So being a good scientist, Don started researching why there were potentially some benefits to the colorblind. He got a couple of research grants from the NIH to investigate it. Then there were some clinical trials at UC Davis and UC Berkeley. And they mapped out and started to refine this technology and develop these special filters for the glasses. And that's where the company was born and where the inspiration came from.
That's a really amazing accident that wasn't even the intention, and that's how it ended up. That's a pretty miraculous accident. So how does the technology actually work? You had said that it kind of enhances the colors so that people who are colorblind can see the colors a little bit easier. But how, from a technology standpoint, how does that actually work?
Good question. The Enchroma technology does more than enhance colors. It expands the range of colors that the colorblind can see. And it also makes those colors more vibrant, more saturated, and more distinct from one another. Colorblind people only see about 10% of the 1 million plus hues and shades that people with normal color vision see. So they do see color. Color blindness is really a misnomer. They're really color vision deficient, but nobody knows it as that. If you say that, people don't know what you're talking about. But the colors kind of blend together for them, and anything with red or green in it is a challenge for them to see. So the glasses use special notch band filters that are dropped in where the colorblind have the most issues in interpreting light correctly. And the result is it expands the colors, it makes them more vibrant, makes them easier to differentiate from one another, and it makes them more clear and they stand out more.
So I know that from my reading, and correct me if I'm wrong, that there are different levels or different types of deficiencies, right? Like you could be deficient in certain like strands of colors and things like that. How does the technology correct to meet those unique individual needs?
People with standard color vision, we all have three cones in our eyes or photoreceptors, red, green, and blue. They interpret light and they tell your brain what color you're seeing. All of us have a slight overlap of the red and green cones. But the problem for the colorblind is they have a more excessive overlap of those red and green cones. And that means they can't get and interpret the right ratio of light to tell their brain what they're seeing. That's why people who are red-green colorblind have trouble with anything with red or green in it. So what the glasses do is they compensate for that overlap and give them, we don't want to say normal because it's not giving them normal color vision, but it improves that ratio of light that they're able to interpret. It helps compensate for that overlap.
That makes sense. So what types of glasses can be purchased? Is it just indoor glasses or is it indoor and outdoor? Because I know you had mentioned in the story that the founder was, his friend was using it outside. So are there different combinations or can you use them both indoor and outdoor?
Yeah, and Chroma makes glasses for both indoor and outdoor use. There isn't one lens that transitions from one environment to the next. We make them in kids' frames, adults' frames, but there is one lens that's for outdoor use and one lens that is for indoor use. We started with outdoor glasses and then over the years worked on the technology for indoor lenses. When you're outside, even if it's a cloudy day, light is very consistent. When you're indoors, it's a little different because you can be in an area that's got ambient outdoor sunlight coming in, and then you have a lamp at your desk, and then you have a fluorescent light above you and LED light here. There's a little more variance in lighting conditions inside, so it took a little longer to perfect that technology.
I could see that because lighting isn't really consistent inside at all. I can see how that would be a challenge. So I always get really excited about when there's studies involved with things. And one of the studies I was looking at on your website was from, I hope I get this right, it was the University of Incarnate Word Rosenberg School of Optometry. And it was talking about how there were really impressive results for the participants who were using the Enchroma lenses. Can you talk a little bit about that study?
There have been several studies by color vision scientists about the glasses that have demonstrated their efficacy. The University of Incarnate Word in San Antonio, Dr. Jeffrey Rabin, he's one of the foremost color vision scientists. He developed the CCT cone contrast test, which is used by the Air Force and some branches of the military for color vision. So he's quite renowned and well-published. He did a very interesting study where he hooked people up to visually evoked potential, VEPs, which is basically a technology that measures the electrical impulses from the optical nerves to the brain. And what was fascinating about what that study did is they measured the impulses or lack thereof of colorblind people when they were shown certain colors. No impulse was recorded to the parts of the brain responsible for a given color. When they wore the glasses, those impulses were recorded. So that was really significant because it helped answer the question that some people legitimately had, which is, well, are they just identifying colors better because of your glasses, or are they actually seeing the colors? So that was a significant study. It also followed up on a study done by UC Davis by one of the world's foremost color vision scientists that also found a persistence effect. People in the study were reporting that they could still see colors after a couple weeks of wearing the glasses without having the glasses on. So the University of Incarnate Word study also looked at that and verified that there's some type of persistence effect.
That's pretty impressive that like they were using it for so many weeks and then they still continued to see the color afterward. That's really interesting. On top of the fact that obviously when they're wearing the glasses, they can see them, which is incredible within itself. But then that continues after is really impressive. So can you speak to any specific examples for how this technology has really improved and impacted people's individual lives?
There are so many examples of how the Enchroma glasses have impacted people's lives. And that's one of the things that is so rewarding about working with Enchroma. It's one of the reasons I've been here for 9 years now. There's always new ways and challenges that the glasses are helping people with, whether it's, you know, a kid in school who maybe was struggling with following certain schoolwork that involved correctly interpreting colors, whether it's a social studies map or the periodic table. There's so many ways that color is involved in our daily life. And we get these stories from parents and colorblind people who are just grateful, and they send us these stories about how they're benefiting from the glasses. There's other examples just in hobbies. We had a guy a few weeks ago who was saying he is a competitive mountain bike rider, and all the trails, it's marked red, don't go down this path, green, go down this one. Well, especially if you're out in the woods, that red just blends in and the green blends in. And he can't tell the difference between those two. And he has to make pretty quick decisions on which path to go down. And he was relaying, I can't tell you how many times I've gone down a path and then I have to turn around realizing it was actually red marked instead of green. We had a mountain guide and he's talking about how at high altitudes, rocks are marked red and green or with different colors, telling him which way to take his clients. And he often has to stop and ask them what a color is. So there's all kinds of ways that people with normal color vision, we just don't walk around thinking what would happen if I couldn't see 90% of colors and the world was much more dull and muted. How would I know if meat is cooked properly, if I'm barbecuing? How would I match my clothes properly? How do I know if a stoplight is red or green? There's all these things from the profound to the more mundane. How do I know if to park in, if I'm parking in a red or a green spot? To people seeing the eyes or hair color of a loved one, or seeing a Monet at an art museum and not realizing how much vibrant color is in it. There's just so many different examples of the ways it's helping people in careers, to the aesthetics of life, to feeling like they can understand things more, to tearing up at seeing more color in a sunset.
I didn't even think about, but that makes so much sense, the safety component of being able to tell what way is safe and what isn't. I should have thought about that, but that didn't immediately pop into my head, but you're right. There's so many things that rely on color for safety purposes that that's something that is really important.
Everything is in green or red or orange or all these different colors for a reason. They're supposed to capture your attention and they're supposed to tell you certain information. And for colorblind people, it's either a little bit slower for them because they can't really see it and they have to make a decision and try to interpret it or rely on somebody else. A lot of colorblind people will tell you they don't look at the color of stoplights. They look at which one is illuminated and they know the positions, but they're not really seeing red or green in the stoplights. They're just seeing which one is lit. So there's a lot of different techniques and things they come up with to work around this issue. Sometimes it's an annoyance and a frustration, and sometimes it's something that inhibits some of their career choices or can make things more difficult for them to navigate.
I've heard a lot of stories about like students in school with like maps who the teachers thought they just didn't know it. And it's not that they didn't know it, they just couldn't see it. Even things like that, you can tell how much that really affects their lives.
We did a survey of colorblind people and how they felt their color vision impacted their learning. Mm-hmm. And 1,000 people responded. And overwhelmingly, they articulated that it's a problem for them in school. 78% said they struggled with tests or assignments that involve color. Almost 50% did not find out they're colorblind till after seventh grade. And of that, 20% did not find out until after high school or college. And only 11 of 50 states currently test school children for it. So the point is you get a lot of kids who go pretty deep into their educations. They don't know they're colorblind. Their parents don't know and their teachers don't know. And they don't know why they're struggling with certain things or a little slower or why they're not seeing things the way their classmates are. And one story I like to tell is my dad's colorblind. He studied chemical engineering. He didn't find out he was colorblind until after college. The only bad grade he ever got was a D at the University of Colorado in a chemistry class because he couldn't see the chemicals change colors when he titrated them. And he just thought, I'm really bad at titration. He didn't suspect that he's colorblind. But you think about, well, what happened if that happened when he was in fourth grade and he was less mature and less resilient and he got a bad grade? A kid might have said, I stink at this subject and I'm not going to do art or I'm not going to do chemistry or whatever it is. And it's all just because they couldn't see the colors.
Yeah, that's really putting into perspective how much that could really affect their education. Actually, I had found Enchroma initially through the color accessibility program. Can you talk a little bit about that program?
The Enchroma color accessibility program began when we started to have museums in particular and schools reach out to us and say, we would really like to add this technology to our accessibility offerings, or schools saying, I've got a colorblind student. Often it was art teachers. Obviously they're working with color all the time and could see kids maybe using the quote unquote wrong crayon or having issues. So it really began with that. And we realized that there's a real need for this. And so we launched the color accessibility program where we're trying to make the glasses affordable to public institutions. We donate a pair for every pair they buy. As part of that, it helps provide access for colorblind people to some of those colorful experiences, whether it's at a museum, a library, a state or national park, or a school. So it's really taken off. We have nearly 200 organizations now that participate. There's over 80 museums, including a couple Smithsonian's, the George O'Keefe Museum. By the time this airs, we'll probably have some exciting news out of Amsterdam and Paris and London. But it really has struck a chord, particularly with museums, because obviously being able to see the colors, but also to understand what the artist is trying to convey emotionally through those colors. And not only that, but the colorblind also really don't see a lot of depth and detail perception, things like the brush strokes and other elements that also help tell the story or tell the story of how the artist constructed something a certain way. So that has been super rewarding. We're also in about 30 library systems, 25 school systems, 10 universities, and 15 state and national parks. Tourism boards are also really starting to pay attention because accessibility is such a big theme right now. Everybody wants to make what they're doing as accessible and inclusive to as many people as possible. And they often haven't realized how common colorblindness is, nor the effects of it. So that's the big challenge. Once they see images of how colorblind people see the world and they see the statistics, then they immediately say, we need to do something about this. And our program is a great way, of course, to do that.
Yeah, I didn't even realize just how common it was until I read the stats. So within that program, they can go to like the museum and then they can rent out the glasses while they walk through all the exhibits?
The glasses are free to borrow at those museums and libraries, schools, etc. There isn't a charge for it. It's good for the museum. It helps them attract more people. The George O'Keefe Museum pre-pandemic was averaging almost 20 people a week coming, just bringing loved ones or colorblind people themselves. And that's in Santa Fe, and they average about 450,000 visitors a year prior to the pandemic. That's what we've been hearing from a lot of the museums. Once colorblind people or people who are related to colorblind people or have coworkers who are colorblind realize that it's there, and especially when they see and understand how that colorblind person sees the world, then they really make a point to go and have that experience and try out the glasses. It's good for the museum, it's good for the colorblind people, and it's good for Enchroma. We want as many people to try our glasses as possible.
It seems to equally benefit everybody. And I saw that one of the tourism groups that you had partnered with was the preservation parks, and that you're putting in the in chroma technology into viewers so they could look through like a viewer, like when you're looking out like a landscape. Is that something that's happening right now?
So the scenic viewers have really taken off. We have partnerships with two of the major viewer manufacturers where they adapt the viewers with our lenses. It really got launched with the Tennessee Department of Tourism. Mm-hmm. They approached us and we worked with them and put this together. They launched them at three parks about 3 years ago, maybe a little longer. And they were popular and they really liked them. And so they expanded to 12. Now they're at 13 and they'll be adding more and be making some other news related to us in the near future too. But they really were champions and advocates for this. And they put together a wonderful video that's gotten about 6 or 8 million views where people were coming up and trying the viewers. Since that, word's gotten around and now we're in 13 different states in federal and state parks. The most recent we launched were in Detroit at Milliken State Park and Ludington State Park and Porcupine Wilderness State Park, all in Michigan. But there's other states that are coming on board here soon that we'll be announcing. So we're really excited about that because being able to see colors in fall foliage in the Smoky Mountains or in nature is just really particularly evocative for people.
I love that. That was something that I thought was pretty awesome. Like, the fact that you could just go up, take a look, and then see everything through that lens has to be pretty special. I noticed that you have two additional programs, the colorblind employee accommodation program and the student enablement program. I wanted to know about those two programs.
Can I add one more thing about the viewers?
But
partnerships with Travel Yukon, where they are loaning glasses up in the Yukon to colorblind people so they can go see the Northern Lights in purple. Purple and green, those are two colors that are really hard for the colorblind. And we also just launched a big initiative in October with Visit Seattle, where they purchased and distributed glasses to 28 different arts venues around, including the Chihuly Gardens. And they just kicked that off. So those were particularly exciting launches as well.
Oh, that's really awesome. I didn't realize about those two.
In terms of the color accessibility program, we do have a program for workplaces. Mm-hmm. Another study we did was about colorblindness in the workplace, surveying colorblind people about different things that either frustrate them or annoy them or are problems for them in the workplace. And it's everything PowerPoint presentations, especially charts and graphs that use red and green, or variations thereof. We're so used to using red as, you know, this is negative and green, this is positive. It's really inculcated in our culture. And it's very difficult, I think, for people to, even if they realize that there's a certain segment that can't follow that information, to train ourselves not to use any of those colors. So we do have a program for employers where they can offer the glasses to their employees who are colorblind. We also offer some training to help employers educate their employees about colorblindness and how to accommodate those colleagues who are colorblind and how to avoid certain colors and other ways to identify colors for people, whether it's using tags or shading or other ways to also give them some guide to understand. That is something that we really want to promote to HR managers and accessibility managers at organizations. There are careers where, you know, color vision is important. Like if you're an electrician or a designer, we have creative people who are designers who have to use, you know, RGB and other elements to make sure that the color they think they chose is the right one. So there's other ways that the glasses help people in their careers.
I didn't think about that. There are those careers that you really need extra vibrant colors. So I could see how that would be helpful to somebody in that situation as well.
Chroma Color Accessibility Program also has an offering for schools. We want schools to test their students. We have an online test that takes about a minute for people to take. It tells them if they're colorblind and if so, what the type. Given those statistics I told you that almost half of colorblind people don't find out till after seventh grade and only 11 of 50 states test school children, it's really important for parents and educators to start to incorporate this and identify those colorblind students much earlier and make those accommodations. So our program also donates a pair for every pair a school buys, whether they're buying that for an individual student or they're buying a set of four glasses that they can loan to students for certain projects or tests that involve color. We also work at the university level. There's about 10 universities that offer the glasses on their campuses. Boston University, North Carolina State, Penn State, Oklahoma State, University of Hamburg in Germany, Alfred University of New York, and others. We also have templates for parents and teachers to understand what it means if they have a colorblind kid or student and how they support them.
I really appreciate when there's that extra layer of support that like a parent or a teacher could go to say like, okay, I have this student now, what can I do to make this environment better for them? So I appreciate that you are sharing those resources and they're openly available. I took the colorblindness test on the website just because I was curious, what does a colorblind test look like? I've never taken one. So it was interesting to see like what that assessment looks like. I think it's also, it's what type of deficiency you have too, right? It's like where your color deficiency lies. And it was a fairly quick test that people can just hop on.
It's not easy even if you have normal color vision, I find.
No.
I thought it was a little challenging, some of them. And when you sit and watch someone who's colorblind take it, it's really shocking because you're sitting there looking at something that's neon pink or neon green, and it's just screaming at you. And that colorblind person doesn't see it. And you really get it when you see somebody take it and you see the things that are just obvious to most of us that they can't see. And then you really understand why it's an issue. So yeah, I'm glad you took the test. Watch somebody colorblind take it. It's pretty fascinating.
I'm sure. There were a couple that it was more of a grayish, darker scale. And I had to do a double take and look at it for a second. And I'm like, this is pretty challenging. I was like, is that a 6? I don't know. Is that a 3? It was It's all dark shading. And like you said, there are the obvious, like this is a bright pink 4, like right here. But For somebody who can't see that, I could see how that would be difficult.
In terms of your last question about expansion, and Chroma will of course be continuing to refine its current products and put out more. We're looking to continue to expand the number of venues across the country and across the world that are making our glasses and our scenic viewers available for colorblind people to experience. So those would probably be the main things that I can say about what we're doing. And of course, you know, partnerships with other brands. We've had partnerships with L'Oreal, Clorox, Lionsgate Films for the last Power Ranger movie that came out. We've worked with quite a few organizations. And when you think about it, every brand, they are seeking to establish an emotional connection with their customers. And it's often conveyed through colors, whether it's their logo or their products or whatever. And if you're missing out on 8% of the men and 0.5% of women, that's not ideal.
That's really exciting about the additional partnerships that are coming.
I don't know if you're aware, but do you know celebrities who are colorblind?
I don't. So, I'm sure Tiger, there are.
Tiger Woods.
Really?
Jack Nicklaus, two of arguably the best golfers of all time are colorblind, which is astounding to me because they have to read so many nuances, whether it's greens or colors or where the flag is. Neil Young is colorblind. He wears our glasses. Howie Mandel and his daughter are both colorblind. They wear the glasses. Also, Prince William, Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, Sting, Mr. Rogers was colorblind. Paul Newman was colorblind. Yeah, just it's amazing. Bill Clinton, Bob Dole, Marco Rubio.
That's so many. I figured there had to be because it's so common, but I had no idea. That's really interesting. Wow. The athletes really throw me.
The running back for now the 49ers, he's colorblind. In sports, it's quite interesting for sure because visual acuity is a huge part of a lot of sports.
I just want to thank you so much for joining us today and for telling us all about Nchroma and just talking about colorblindness in general. I think this is something that is not really talked about a lot. And so I'm excited that you were able to share all that information with us today.
Yeah, you bet. It was a lot of fun. Really enjoyed it. Thanks for your interest and thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Assembly and Inclusion Podcast. I hope the information in this episode taught you something new, gave you a new idea, or showcased a new perspective. If you liked the episode, feel free to leave us a review or comment. If you have a recommendation for an individual or an organization who would make a great guest, you can message us on Twitter or Instagram, or send us an email at assemblinginclusion@gmail.com. See you next time.